Hello and welcome to a special tribute edition of Lyrics of Their Life, The Story Behind, the podcast where we uncover the true stories behind the songs you know and love. I'm your host, Adam Hampton, and in this episode, we pay tribute to the one and only Queen of Country Music, Dolly Parton, who sadly passed away at the age of 80 on August 25th, 2026. After a brief battle with cancer. Today, we're taking an in-depth look at one of Dolly's definitive masterpieces, Jolene, a song that captures the raw, heartbreaking tale of vulnerability and insecurity felt by a woman begging another to refrain from stealing away her man. Beyond its iconic minor key acoustic riff, Jolene holds one of the most fascinating origins in modern music, a story born from a real-life encounter with a flirtatious bank teller, a striking 8-year-old fan with auburn hair, and a single day of songwriting magic that produced two of the greatest tracks of all time. So, without further ado, let's celebrate Dolly's memory and take a closer look at the story behind this incredible song. This is the story of Jolene by Dolly Parton. This is Lyrics of Their Life.
Prince has died at the age of 57.
This is it.
Sorry, Gary, but I was always the talented member of the band.
Keep booing, little girl. I will hit a man with glasses.
I'm really happy for you. I'm gonna let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time.
Former Beatle John Lennon, who was 40, was shot and killed last night outside his luxury apartment in New York.
Has-beens shouldn't present fucking awards to Gunna Be.
Leave Britney alone!
To truly appreciate the genius of Jolene, you have to understand where Dolly Parton came from and the fire that drove her. Long before she was a global icon, Dolly Rebecca Parton, born on January 19, 1946, in a one-bedroom cabin on the banks of the Little Pigeon River in Pittman Center, Tennessee, before moving with her family to be raised on her parents' farm in the Great Smoky Mountains of Locust Ridge, East Tennessee, upgrading slightly to a two-bedroom cabin to house their large family, which consisted of 12 children, including Dolly. With the tiny, cramped cabin having no electricity and indoor plumbing, as her hard-working family had very little money, despite Dolly's father working relentlessly between odd jobs and farming, to put food on the table. But what they lacked in material wealth, they made up for in unconditional love, laughter, music, and just an all-round good time. A theme that Dolly would later immortalize in her song, Code of Many Colors. Dolly's childhood was steeped in mountain folklore, traditional country ballads, and Pentecostal church singing, where she began performing and writing her own songs at just the age of 6, as she also started playing guitar by age 7. At age 10, Dolly was already appearing on local radio and talent shows and soon recorded her very first single, titled Puppy Love, for a small Louisiana label. Dolly would always credit her mother for instilling her deep musical knowledge into her, and her father for passing down his sharp business sense. At just the age of 13, Dolly made her debut at the absolute pinnacle of country music, the Grand Ole Opry, where she was introduced by none other than Johnny Cash, who personally encouraged her to keep chasing her passion, as she performed a cover of the George Jones song, You Gotta Be My Baby. The adoring crowd loved her so much that they brought her back out for 3 separate encores. Over the next few years, Dolly wrote, recorded, and released singles, signed with multiple labels, and was even dropped by them, all before she turned 18. However, she never wavered. The morning after graduating from Sevier County High School in 1964, Dolly packed her bags and headed straight for Nashville, Tennessee, with a single dream to conquer the country music industry, leaving behind not one, but 2 boyfriends and her family back in Locust Ridge. But what happened next was totally unexpected. On her very first day in Nashville, while walking into the wishy-washy laundromat of all places to complete a load of her dirty washing, Dolly, age 18, first met the man of her dreams and her would-be husband, 21-year-old Carl Dean, the man that would also be an integral inspiration behind her hit song, Jolene. Carl had actually been driving by in his white Chevy pickup truck when he saw Dolly standing out the front of the laundromat sipping on a cold can of pop, as he decided to holler out to her. Dolly waved back as Carl stopped to talk to her, and the rest was history, with Carl even saying to himself that day that, quote, "I'm gonna marry that girl, and Lord, she's good looking." Carl wanted to take her out that instant, however, Dolly turned him down, despite being impressed at how respectful he was and how he genuinely seemed interested in what she had to say and how he looked her in the eye when he spoke to her. Instead, Dolly invited him around while she was babysitting her nephew the following day, before spending their first few dates sitting in Carl's pickup truck eating McDonald's. Carl was a shy young tradesman who ran his own asphalt road and driveway paving business, however he never was one to crave the limelight, instead remaining quite private and away from the media and music events like award shows. Instead, totally supporting and respecting Dolly with her musical ambitions, as did she with Carl's desire to remain private and a working class man. Meanwhile, Dolly was determined to make it on the country music scene, but the path wouldn't be an easy one, after signing with Monument Records at the age of 19. In the heavily male-dominated industry of the 1960s, label executives initially tried to push her towards bubblegum pop music, releasing the commercially unsuccessful single, Happy Happy Birthday Baby. But Dolly stood her ground, remaining country to her absolute core, and by 1966, Dolly released her debut album, in the style of country, titled Hello, I'm Dolly, which saw her only narrowly miss the top 10 on the US country chart, and saw her singles Dumb Blonde and Something Fishy chart within the US country top 30. During this time, Dolly, now age 20, also tied the knot with 23-year-old Carl Dean, after eloping in a private ceremony on the 30th of May 1966 at Ringgold Baptist Church in the state of Georgia, just 2 years after they started dating. Originally, the couple planned to have a larger ceremony involving their family and friends. However, due to pressure from Dolly's record label manager, Fred Foster, who had ordered her not to get married as it would damage her commercial appeal and affect her fan base from growing if the public discovered that she was a taken woman and not attainable, the couple instead chose not to listen and quietly snuck away to Ringgold, Georgia for the weekend, known as the wedding capital of the South, where they could secretly elope without waiting periods on marriage licenses. The only witness present at the time would be Dolly's mother, Avy Lee, as Dolly wore a simple, no-frills, homemade knee-length white dress and a short veil that her mother had sewn for her. Due to not being able to afford wedding rings, Carl's mother lent them her Sears department store credit account so they could purchase a half a carat ring, paying it off in monthly installments. For many years, their marriage would remain a secret, with the press and even her label knowing nothing about it, as Dolly became Dolly Parton Dean. However, she opted to omit her husband's surname professionally. When she did finally come clean about their marriage, however, for many years she fought back at the press and crazy fan theories suggesting that he never existed, with their secret Georgia wedding proving two things. Dolly Parton was fiercely loyal to Carl, and she was also willing to risk her entire career for the man she loved. After settling down, Dolly's big break came in 1967, when country star Porter Wagner invited her to join his wildly popular, syndicated TV show. For 6 years, Dolly shared the screen with Wagner, gaining massive exposure and scoring hit duets, which often outshone her solo singles. By 1970, however, Dolly finally started finding success as a solo performer, scoring top 10 hits with Mule Skinner Blues, Code of Many Colours, Touch Your Woman, and the number one hit, Joshua. By 1973, Dolly started coming into her own, with her charming girl-next-door persona and quick wit, famously using self-deprecating humour to own every room that she walked into. This, along with her sky-high blonde wigs, cinched hourglass suits, an endless sea of sparkling rhinestones, Dolly began to build one of the most iconic looks in music history, paired with her instantly recognisable high soprano, infused with the raw and vulnerable mountain soul of her Appalachian roots. But behind the scenes, tension was brewing. Porter Wagner controlled much of her career, and Dolly was itching to break out on her own, not just as a singer, but as a serious, independent songwriter. By 1973, Dolly was sitting on a pressure cooker of emotion. She was fighting for her artistic freedom, deeply in love with her husband Carl Dean, and tapping into some of her most raw, authentic storytelling yet. This was when she penned two extraordinary songs on the same day, with one of those being Jolene, and of course the masterpiece, I Will Always Love You, a song that Dolly actually wrote about breaking free from Porter Wagner and the need to strike out on her own despite still loving and respecting what he had done for her. Not convinced that separating as business partners was in her best interests and feeling like Dolly was being disloyal, Dolly would have to play the song for Porter just to convince him that she was serious, even bringing him to tears as he claimed it was the quote, prettiest song I ever heard. Dolly and Porter Wagner would agree to part ways once her contract was up in 1974, with Dolly stating, quote, I wrote that song to say here's how I feel, I will always love you, but I have to go. Dolly would record Jolene on the 22nd of May 1973 at RCA Studio B in Nashville under RCA Victor Records. With a short runtime of just 2 minutes and 42 seconds, production by Bob Ferguson, and the guitar parts being played by Chip Young and Wayne Moss. This was despite Dolly herself coming up with the catchy guitar lick, as she told The Guardian, quote, I was playing guitar pretty serious back then, before I had all the long nails. I remember all the guys learning to play it, and everybody thinking how cool a rhythm it was. It was a little out of the norm for the things that we'd been doing up to that time. I remember everybody in the studio just loving that song. Released on the 15th of October 1973, Jolene was solely written by Dolly Parton, revealing while on stage in 1988 that it was based on a real-life experience involving her insecurity and worry that her husband Carl, after 7 years of marriage, was beginning to get wandering eyes for another woman. As Dolly attempts to confront the woman in question, kindly asking her to back down. This woman happened to be a strikingly attractive red-headed bank teller who had been flirting with Carl every time he went to make a deposit at the bank from his asphalt paving business, only for Carl to often come home glowing at the attention he had received. While Carl was a loyal man and committed to Dolly, she couldn't help but feel threatened by the woman's advances on the man she literally risked everything for, including her career. As Dolly delivers one of the most vulnerable songs ever written, as she sings the lines, "Jolene, oh I'm begging of you, please don't take my man," before continuing by highlighting her beauty, her flaming auburn hair, ivory skin, emerald green eyes, and her smile that is so alluring that she fears she is no match for her. Dolly continues on, mentioning how her husband talks about the woman in his sleep before mentioning that she could literally have anyone she wanted, anyone but her man, as she sings the lines, "But I could never love again, 'cause he's the only one for me, Jolene." Dolly claims the name and appearance of the bank teller wasn't actually based on the woman herself, and that she was actually inspired after meeting a young fan named Jolene, who Dolly signed an autograph for once, as the young girl also had striking red hair. Telling NPR, quote, "One night, I was on stage, and there was this beautiful little girl. She was probably 8 years old at the time, and she had this beautiful red hair, this beautiful skin, these beautiful green eyes, and she was looking up at me, holding, you know, for an autograph. I said, 'Well, you're the prettiest little thing I ever saw, so what is your name?' And she said, 'Jolene.' And I said, 'Jolene, Jolene, Jolene, Jolene.' I said, 'That is pretty. That sounds like a song. I'm going to write a song about that." Dolly also chose to keep the real bank teller's name a secret, deciding to protect the woman who had hurt her so deeply. However, she did reveal some details about her over the years, telling NPR, quote, "She had everything I didn't, like legs. You know, she was about 6 feet tall, and had all that stuff that some little short, sawed-off honky like me don't have. So no matter how beautiful a woman might be, you're always threatened by other women, period." So, the question I know you're wondering, did Carl actually cheat? And the answer is no, not even close. Over time, the situation became a bit of a running joke between the two, as Dolly trusted Carl and knew that he wouldn't ever betray her like that, with Dolly claiming that he just liked the attention, as she claimed, quote, "She got this terrible crush on my husband. He just loved going to the bank because she paid him so much attention. It was kind of like a running joke between us, when I'd say, 'Hell, you're spending a lot of time at the bank. I don't believe we got that kind of money.' So it's really an innocent song all around, but sounds like a dreadful one. I wrote it when my husband and I first got married. We had been married just a little while, and he was spending a little more time at the bank than I thought he ought to be." Carl remained devoted to Dolly, and the running joke at the bank eventually faded into family lore, once Dolly had worn the joke to death, and with Carl becoming so consumed by running the farm and running his business, he no longer had time for trips to the bank anyway. After all, Dolly was renowned as a bit of a flirt herself, often using her looks and cheeky personality as part of her gimmick. Carl was believed to have been somewhat embarrassed by the media attention the song brought him. However, it wasn't actually the first time that Dolly had written about him, having penned the 1968 track Just Because I'm a Woman, which was an early song about double standards in a relationship between a man and a woman, which Dolly wrote after an argument with Carl one day over his trouble accepting Dolly's romantic past. While the 1969 track, My Blue Ridge Mountain Boy, was also written about Carl in a more positive light, and even featured Carl in the background for the cover of the album. Dolly wouldn't let jealousy tear her marriage apart. Instead, she did what all great songwriters do, and she turned her personal vulnerability into absolute gold. As Dolly would later joke that she actually owed the flirtatious bank teller a debt of gratitude because that fleeting moment of insecurity sparked a track that made her millions and cemented her legacy forever, stating, quote, "I wrote Jolene and made a fortune off of it, so another woman's flirtation turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to my bank account." As she told the crowd at the 2014 Glastonbury concert, quote, "I put a stop to that. I got rid of that redhead woman in a hurry. I want you folks to know that something good can come from anything. Had it not been for that woman, I would never have written Jolene, and I wouldn't have made all that money. So thank you, Jolene." Due to the pain captured in this vulnerable song, Dolly would occasionally leave it out of her set lists and struggled at times to perform the song. However, in the end, they would overcome this obstacle, spending the rest of their lives together. Jolene would go on to become Dolly Parton's biggest hit yet, charting at number one on the US and Canadian country charts, even cracking the mainstream Billboard Hottest 100 in the US, reaching number 60. While years later in 1976, the song would chart at number 7 in the UK after being given a delayed release, becoming her first international hit, as it went triple platinum in both the US and UK and 7x platinum in Australia, selling over 2 million copies worldwide, as Jolene would go on to be nominated at the Grammys for Best Female Country Vocal Performance in 1975 and then again in 1976 for the live recording version. Dolly would release Jolene, the album, later in February 1973, with the album going on to reach number 6 on the US country chart and selling 8.3 million digital and physical copies worldwide, as it would also include the hit song, I Will Always Love You. Jolene's success would just be the beginning for Dolly, as she would go on to have 5 consecutive number ones on the US country chart, establishing herself as a solo country music powerhouse, with these songs including I Will Always Love You, Love Is Like a Butterfly, The Bargain Store, and a duet with Porter Wagoner named Please Don't Stop Loving Me. From here, Dolly would officially depart the Porter Wagoner show by April 1974, and despite continuing to work with Porter, she would eventually sever ties with him by the end of 1975, after releasing their 12th studio album together, titled Say Forever, You'll Be Mine. And we all know the rest, as Dolly went on to sell over 100 million records, releasing 49 solo albums, scoring 25 US country number ones, 11 Grammy Awards, 10 CMAs, and 13 ACMs. Not to mention her Oscar nominations for her starring acting roles, starting her very own record label, Theme Park, known as Dollywood, and earning inductions into the Rock and Roll and Country Hall of Fames. But despite all the accolades and earning the nickname the Queen of Country, one thing remained a constant in her life, and that was the man that inspired her hit song, Jolene. With Dolly spending almost 60 years married to Carl Dean until his passing in Nashville on the 3rd of March 2025 at the age of 82. Dolly had written at least 8 songs about Carl over her 70-year career. However, she would pay tribute to her late husband by releasing the heartfelt song, "If You Hadn't Been There, I Wouldn't Be Here," with the beautiful lyrics reading, "I wouldn't be here if you hadn't been there, holding my hand, showing you care. You made me dream more than I dared." Together they shared a bond like nothing seen before in show business, with Carl happy to allow Dolly to chase her dream, while he privately goes about his business, remaining in his private asphalt paving business until his retirement, where he spent much of his time fixing up their property at their Willow Lake Ranch in Brentwood, Tennessee. With Carl attending just the one BMI award show over the years with Dolly, before respectfully telling her, never again, as it just wasn't his crowd or his thing. Despite this, the couple kept the romance alive, even making time for an annual anniversary ritual, as they would travel to Ringgold, Georgia, pack a quiet picnic, and sit together on the church steps where they tied the knot all those years ago, even renewing their vows in May 2016 to celebrate 50 years married, as they finally got the lavish ceremony with guests that they always hoped for. With Dolly putting their successful marriage down to a mutual respect, a shared sense of humour, and allowing for plenty of independence and space, with her touring schedule allowing them to have time away to miss one another and not grow bored or tired of each other. As Dolly said about Carl, quote, "If I had to do it all over again, I'd marry him 1,000 times more." Sadly, the couple would never have children together, despite planning to one day start a family, even picking out names like Carla. It just wasn't meant to be, with Dolly citing endometriosis and a partial hysterectomy in her 30s as the main contributing factor to why they never had children. Together they found peace over this, and instead Dolly saw this as a way to focus on her career, with Dolly choosing to pour her love into her nieces and nephews and her godchild, Miley Cyrus. Towards the end of Carl's life, Dolly stepped away from touring to care for her ill husband, revealing to People magazine that after he passed, that she was so focused on looking after Carl that she started to neglect her own health. On August 21st, 2026, Dolly would be hospitalised at the Vanderbilt Ingram Cancer Center in Nashville, Tennessee, before passing away at the age of 80 just days later on the 25th of August, 2026, just 17 months after her husband Carl had passed away, with Dolly's PR team revealing that her cancer battle was, quote, brief. While her nephew and head of security, Brian Seaver, also released a statement via Dolly's social media announcing her death as tributes from across the world rang out, ranging from Donald Trump to Eminem and Miley Cyrus, with a small private ceremony involving just Dolly's immediate family set to take place in the coming days, as Dolly will be laid to rest beside her husband Carl at Woodlawn Memorial Park in Nashville. Jolene would go on to be considered one of the greatest songs of all time, being bumped up from number 217 to 63 on the Rolling Stone magazine's Top 500 Greatest Songs of All Time list, which was last revised in 2021. Today, Jolene remains Dolly's most streamed song on Spotify as it inches towards 1 billion streams, sitting at over 966 million, while 9 to 5 is on its tail with over 907 million. With Jolene this past week since her passing, topping multiple Spotify and Apple iTunes charts. Jolene was even added to the Grammy Hall of Fame in 2014 and has made countless appearances in films like Dumplin' and TV shows like Glee, as well as being covered successfully by over 30 artists in multiple languages, including Beyoncé, The White Stripes, Olivia Newton-John, Pentatonix, and Dolly's goddaughter Miley Cyrus, while it even had its very own sequel, written by performer Bells, called Son of Jolene, which Dolly collaborated on just this year. Dolly would speak about the impact and enduring influence the song and its message still has today during the introduction to her 2019 Netflix show Dolly Parton's Heartstrings, stating, quote, "The reason I think the song Jolene has resonated with so many people for so long, because most of us have actually had a Jolene or a Joe in our lives at one time or another. But more importantly, we've all felt insecure about something. We've all felt like we might lose someone we love to someone else because we're not good enough. And that's what this song's really about." Dolly Parton gave the world hundreds of songs, but Jolene remains the ultimate testament to her genius, taking a raw private moment of fear, vulnerability, and insecurity and turning it into a timeless anthem. From a secret elopement in Ringgold, Georgia, to the absolute summit of the country music industry, Dolly and Carl proved that real love can withstand both industry pressure and a flirtatious bank teller. Dolly may have left us to rejoin her beloved husband Carl in the afterlife, but every time that lightning-fast guitar lick begins to play and Dolly hits us with that somewhat repetitive but catchy chorus line, the Queen of Country will always live on. And that wraps up this episode of Lyrics of Their Life podcast. Thank you all for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed the show. If this is your first time tuning in to our show, don't forget to hit the follow or subscribe button so you don't miss our future episodes. And if you're really enjoying the show, a quick rating or review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts goes a long way in helping us to grow. If you would like to follow the podcast, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, X, and TikTok at Lyrics of Their Life Podcast, or on our website at lyricsoftheirlife.com for updates and more. If you'd like to support the podcast further and help keep episodes like this coming, you can head over to my Patreon at patreon.com/lyricsoftheirlifepodcast, or you can buy me a coffee over at buymeacoffee.com/lyricsoflifepod. Every bit of support means the world to me and helps make episodes like this one possible. Whether you're a long-time listener or just discovering the show for the first time, thank you for being here and supporting the show in whatever form that comes in. Thanks again for listening. I'm your host, Adam Hampton, and this is Lyrics of Their Life.